The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Critical Hit, a major spoilers podcast. Thank you so much for downloading and checking us out this week. We're back. We spent some time learning about spaceships and the roles of spaceships and upgrading our spaceships. Kevin, where are you going to take us this week?
I think we're going to go to space.
Yay!
Shocking!
Space!
Yes. So, your upgrades last time
on Critical Hit
were in order to prepare you and your ship for the race that you are about to run, the redemption race, the round that should get you back in the good graces of the Drifter's executives, such as and the mysterious power brokers behind the scenes like Eon Soljet and Team Electrum. But you have to run the race first. So you guys had done your upgrades on Verses. You had your little crew ready to assist with repairs should that come up. But and before that, you'd met with Team Electrum and discussed the fate of your collective enterprise here, and whether you were destined to be faces or heels, and you came to some sort of accord with them, but none of that matters unless you guys can pull off a win today. So we're going to go ahead and cut to the race. You guys have been given coordinates that Rain sends them to you, but unfortunately she didn't get them ahead of time or anything like that. So they're out in the middle of nowhere, technically in packed world space, but just in some like a debris field of asteroids and nebulas, no inhabited worlds or anything like that. And that is where you are all supposed to meet.
We warp in out of subspace and our light speed engines cool down.
You drift others. In out of
that's it.
Space.
Yep. and we eject our arrival fireworks.
I'm going to derail you here for just a moment, Kevin. There was some interesting talk in our Discord server from our listeners who listened to the ship's combat explanation and the upgrade information. And they said it feels like a lot like, I think they said, one of the Star Wars games that kind of does this exact same thing. And they thought that was rather interesting that there was that similarity in ship build and ship flight and that kind of stuff that people use.
Yeah, I mean, I've played a couple of the Star Wars RPGs. I do like how central a ship is to Starfinder. I mean, you could play Starfinder without having a ship, for sure. But they allocate a huge amount of the core rulebook to ships and ship combat, and it's a whole different thing. And I think it's really cool.
Yeah, definitely.
I say that now before I run this for you. Ask me again afterwards. I'm going to have a migraine.
I hope not.
We are all ready, but yes, we hope we do not give you a migraine.
I kid because I love. But it is always, it's tricky when there's a separate system, right? Like that's an ask for the players. It's an ask for the DM to know a whole additional set of rules.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
fortunately, like, whenever you can kind of blend things, like, oh, the ship has an armor class, it's like, okay, cool. Fine. Yeah,
and the fact that our skills impact directly what happens to the ship.
Right. Yeah. I make a skill check as my character. I make an engineering check and I fix the thing, reallocate shields or whatever. But you guys are pulling up and you see ahead of you a very strange racetrack. So it's going to be described by our hosts here in a moment, so I'll save that for you. But it's in the middle of space. It's not near a planet. There are asteroids and some space gas kind of wandering about, but it is very brightly lit, and you can tell where you're supposed to be stationed near, again, one of those giant electronic checkered flag beginning signs where the other ships are pulling up.
Is there a little guy in a cloud that says lap one?
Yeah, exactly. All right. Anything that you guys discuss amongst yourselves?
We need to check our blue shell allocation.
Now be sure to hit the gas on the second light.
I'll be like, you know, kind of look to Hecubine and be like, should we give a inspirational pep talk to the team before we start?
Yeah. All right, everyone. Due to circumstances out of our control, we were knocked out of the race, but by exercising an immense amount of free will and also getting corporate interests involved, we have managed to essentially worm ourselves back into this. And as the mighty worm burrows deeply into somebody's thorax, we will also burrow deeply into the thorax of this race and win it, which I guess would be like not killing the host. I'm a little bit... Amu, how do worms work?
Which kind?
We'll be burrowing into their hearts!
Yes! They're the hearts of the public and also the hearts of our sponsors, and most importantly, into the heart of gold that is the money at the end of this race.
And to their brains, because they won't be able to stop thinking about how awesome we are.
That's right. We will be a full system infection to this show, and it will never be the same again.
Oh, there's a little synthetic tear that runs down Bob's cheek. He's just so inspired by these words.
Yeah. Seriously, though, guys, do your jobs. Man your stations. Don't panic. And, yeah. You guys are doing great. I trust all of you.
Yeah.
And I'll look at Skritik to do what you're supposed to do during the race.
Okay. There's a clang of a hatch and scuttering in the vents as he runs down to the engineering.
Everyone feeling good?
Everybody feeling loose and ready.
Everybody got your makeup on, your or whatever you need.
Our hats.
Yeah.
Pull up a little brush and brush my scales.
Yeah,
the ship is already being surrounded by camera bots, and an extra bumper is being attached to the rear. It's being it's being magnetically sealed, and then there's a spellcaster evidently also casting something that seals it to the back of the ship. You remember that the Sand Skink had a bunch of its systems
turned off.
Until we reach a certain level of awesomeness.
Yep. So who knows exactly what this bumper does. But it's being done to all the ships, not just yours.
What other ships are here? Do we know?
Yeah. So that seems like a good time to cut away to the view that these camera bots are providing. and you see that little silver swoosh of a desk that two of your hosts are seated behind, the human Jockhammer and the Barathu Shulai, the same hosts you guys have seen at your previous race.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 27th season of Drifters, the galaxy's only infosphere show with pain demon set designers on staff. I'm your host, Jockhammer, joined again by Shulai.
I think you mean Velstrax, colloquially known as Chitons, not pain demons, you uneducated ape.
That's right! I can never keep my evil outsider straight without that old childhood rhyme saying it out loud. Chitin sharp with razors frighten, through pain and piercings they enlighten. But enough nursery rhyme, Shulai. Why don't you tell the audience what's special about this race?
This is a redemption race, meaning that each of the teams present was previously eliminated from contention. But they are now offered a second chance to remain in Drifters. Unlike a normal race, only the winning team will advance to the next segment.
And of course, for today's race is not like any we've seen before. How would you describe it, Shulai?
Why, the course is quite simply a series of seven electromagical fields arranged in concentric rings with hidden warp gates to connect them, all moving at different relative speeds, obviously.
Right. Let me try a metaphor for the audience. Imagine a really big onion ring, and where the onion is, inside the batter, that's the racetrack. And the batter is the electromagical field that moves everything within the ring at a certain speed, like a moving walkway. And then there are six more onion rings, each smaller and contained within the previous, like nesting dolls. And they each move faster than the previous ones. And each ring is a color of the rainbow, the outermost being red, then orange, proceeding all the way down to violet in the innermost ring. Rainbow nesting doll moving walkway onion rings. Got it? Great.
The warp gates will flicker in and out of existence, meaning the pilots will have only a brief window to make the jump to the next ring, or they'll have to fly around the ring once again. And the winning team must make it to the innermost ring. Furthermore, power-ups are located at inner rings, and it will be easier to hit the slower-moving targets than the faster-moving ships on the faster-moving inner rings.
Plus, asteroids, nebulas, and some special surprises to ensure this will be the most brutal race yet. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Cuts to totally different image. You see a human man sitting cross-legged on a mat in a peaceful-looking space with bonsai trees and wind chimes in the background. Quaint knickknacks litter the shelves whimsically. A wooden floor beneath him is well-lit by natural sunlight. He's dressed in loose-fitting, comfy-looking clothes like he's about to do yoga or maybe take a nap. He has a few tattoos and a couple of piercings.
Hi, everyone. We're here from the cult of Zon Kuthon, the Midnight Lord, the Dark Prince, and we want to set the record straight on some points. It's not true that Kuthites experienced the worst pain of their lives upon joining the cult.
He turns to the side camera, and he is now completely lit differently. There are shadows accentuating the dozen spikes that are running through his face, and hundreds of scarification marks on his body. He's dressed in leather stained black with blood. The sounds of the chimes in the background have been replaced by chains clinking together. The bonsai trees are instead prisoners hanging in gibbets, cages where they might be pruned. The room shelves are filled with elaborate puzzle boxes. And he says, "There is no such thing as the worst pain, as worse is always yet to come." He turns back and is lit. The first image again.
nor is it the case that Kuthites express regret about joining the cult to their families. In Shadow, Kuthites never speak to their families again unless it is to exact enlightening pain upon them. Plus, you never have to feel regret again. Let's address the elephant in the room. The sex stuff. Lots of people think we're a negative stereotype for the BDSM community, whose members are constantly experiencing the peaks of pleasure by torturing others. In reality, most BDSM practitioners emphasize safety and trust. We really don't. Plus, the peaks of pleasure fade too fast. We prefer to stay on the edge. He runs a blade across his skin and quivers as he bleeds, his eyes closed in ecstasy. Oh yeah, that's the stuff. So, if you're curious about experiencing new planes of pleasure, or you simply can't stand existence and are desperate to feel something, anything at all, join the cult of Zonkuthon. We hear the song at the center of the galaxy, and it sounds like razors through the flesh. What do you mean the subliminal broadcaster wasn't running? Are you kidding me, Doug? And then it cuts back.
Wow.
Yeah, see? Gelugon, it kills with ice, then kills your ghost that eats you twice.
Oh, thanks, Rodrigo.
Oh, I thought everybody knew those rhymes.
The evil outsider rhymes. But to answer your original question, there are three... and at the end it says, go team immense tomorrow, as the ad ends. There are three other ships stationed here with you. There is, for each team, the new team, Rust Dragon. Their ship, the Umber Wyvern, is a heavily modded A-Tech Resolute heavy freighter. So it's larger and slower than the Squeaky Clean. It's blocky, orange, white, and brown colored. It definitely appears to be more heavily armed and armored than a standard issue freighter. Notably, it has a ramming prow built into its snub nose, so you probably want to avoid that. And as I go through these, I'm going to show you them on Roll 20. So that's what the Umber Wyvern kind of looks like.
Nice.
Neat.
Team Immense Tomorrow, they are flying the Celebrant of Darkness, a creepy-looking ship giving the impression of an arachnid, like a tick, backlit in purple with chain-like grabber claws below the main body. A starship aficionado like Bob could recognize that this is an Eclipse Innovations Antumbra Overseer model, which just means that it has a durable hull, a heavy weapons complement, and would actually be very difficult to hack. They have systems that are designed to, like electronic countermeasures. So that is what the Celebrant of Darkness looks like.
Scary.
Creepy.
Ooh.
And then you might remember this team from your previous race as well, Team Hive Mind, the Formians. They are in the Myrmecia, which looks less like a starship and more like a giant space beetle, as it is actually a living biomechanical vessel. It has enormous pincer-like mandibles, and beneath its biomagnetic shielding and chitinous armor plates, you can see bulbous sacks that seem ready to shoot or spray some kind of bioweapon. And that is what the Myrmecia looks like.
Ooh, scarier.
That's dope.
Cool. So on roll 20, you should see a lot of colors.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
So it's
sweet.
It's a hex grid, because that's how, you know, starship combat works. And like the host described, you can see that it's a rainbow of ovals, basically, rings. Jock Hammer described them as onion rings, but, you know, it's easy to think of it two-dimensionally. Three-dimensionally, you guys are traveling within, like, a little a tunnel, basically, like little tubes, hence the onion ring. But two-dimensionally, it's very easy to just look at it and see. So there's all sorts of stuff. Let's see.
I had no idea you could put animations in this.
Oh, yeah. Animated tokens, for sure. So you guys should be able to see a bunch of stuff, but not everything I can see. Do you see the little ships at the top of the red ring near the flag?
Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
Ah. Yeah. Bam. All right. So, the top one is the Squeaky Clean. Do you see that?
Yep.
Yep.
All right. So that is a token that I should be able to give you guys control over.
Looks like I can.
Yeah. I already see that control over it.
All right, great, great, great. Cool. And then you can see, if you just look down, I use different tokens. So the one right beneath the Squeaky Clean is the Umber Wyvern, which is the new Team Rust Dragon. The one below that is the Mermessia, which is the Formians, Team Hivemind. And the one below that is the Celebrant of Darkness, Team Immense Tomorrow. So, you know, some people would start with an easy race that makes sense. So I decided to do this instead.
Yeah. Glow in the dark onion rings in space.
It's pretty impressive.
Donut hole inside a smaller donut hole.
Absolutely. Did you guys understand the concept of each of these being a faster moving walkway?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Sort of.
Imagine, like, you know, so let's say the ship goes at 50 miles an hour. Well, each of these rings provides additional acceleration of its own. Or additional speed of its own. So, you know, if you'd normally be going 50 miles per hour in the red ring, let's say the red ring is plus 10, you'd net be going 60 miles an hour. So imagine, like, you're running, but you're running on a moving walkway. So wherever you're going, the thing is also kind of boosting you along. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. But then if you were in the orange ring, maybe it'd be plus 20 miles an hour. And the yellow ring plus 30 miles an hour. And maybe the violet ring is plus 100 miles an hour. So each ring is faster than the ones ahead of it. So even if you guys are maintaining a steady speed by moving to inner more rings, you go much, much faster.
Can we pick a direction and number the rings just for people whose monitors can't tell the difference between purple and magenta and or colorblind people?
Ooh. Yes, I suppose I can.
On the outside, just, six on the
you
inside?
Know, from the inside to the outside or outside to the inside, and then we'll count.
Yeah, so there are seven total rings, obviously.
So do we start from the outside and move in? Yeah.
You start from the outside and move in. That's correct. All right.
So the red is one.
The red is the slowest, is actually. Seven. Yep.
Okay.
But red is the fastest color. Just ask any orc.
Stop being an orc.
No, they're the best. You had the opportunity to play an orc in this game, and you decided to play a weird space like mucus colony, okay?
That's right. It's on you.
Man, could have been an orc.
We could have all been orcs. We could have been a group of orcs.
Space orcs.
Oh. Yeah, space orcs.
So
orcs, as they call them. So.
With a K.
With a K.
Yeah. Yep. That's going to.
So while theoretically it is possible to label them, it is practically quite difficult.
I think we have all them rings.
That's fine.
One through seven outside to inside.
Yeah, it's Roy G. Biv. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll see.
It is Roy G. Biv. But yeah, one through seven outside to inside. Can you guys see, like, the starting with the yellow ring down here? Oops. Oh, I'm on the, not on. Yeah, down there. Exactly. There are little animated icons. You can see them?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Cool.
Yep.
Each of those represents an upgrade.
Oh.
So if you swing through that, you'll get that upgrade first. If you're the first one to swing through it, that is.
So those are question mark blocks?
Those are question
Those are the warp fields.
So the warp gates that Xu Lai mentioned, you don't actually see. Those are currently all on the GM layer, so you don't know where the... She said they're hidden warp gates that move you from one ring to the next. So you'll have to find them as you go. You guys see the asteroids that are kind of littered throughout the map?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah, those are asteroids. If you hit them, the ship will take damage.
Okay, then.
Okay. And then, kind of towards the innermost rings on the map layer, and because it's on the map layer, it does not break the ring.
Okay.
But towards, like, some of the inner rings, you can see, if you look around, do you see that kind of, like, ugly, yeah, that's a good one, that's another one, and then this is another Italy one over here, and over here. This kind of ugly green, yellow, brown stuff.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
That is nebula. That is space dust gas. So it's not as bad as hitting an asteroid, obviously, but there might be... Your sensors might not work or stuff like that, you know?
Fun.
It's a good place to hide, for instance, if you're trying to hide from ship fire. So
yeah, Khan can never find you in there.
Yeah, that's right, because he thinks two-dimensionally.
Exactly.
Any questions before we get started?
And is there any obvious way to move from ring to ring besides these hidden gates?
Nope.
Okay, then.
If there was, the gates would serve no purpose. Okay. I need a couple things from you guys. The Squeaky Clean has shields. How much shields do they have? 80? Looks like 80 points
correct.
Of shield. So, how are you guys arranging them? Because you have aft, port starboard, and four.
20 all around?
Should we just do 20? Yeah,
I like 20 all around.
20 is easy. All right.
No, we can allocate during one of our turns, right? Reallocate
that
stuff.
You can reallocate. That is an engineering action. But yes, you certainly can. Let's see here. First of all, when you take the divert shields action, you restore shield points equal to 5% of your PCU rating, which is good. So PCU rating of Squeaky Clean is 250. What's 5% of 250?
12.
12. So you heal 12 whenever that action is taken, up to once a round, I think. And you can distribute the restored shields across the four quadrants as you see fit. Plus, I think I mentioned before in the previous, when we did our like rundown previously, you can always like basically steal shields from one quadrant to give to another, but you can't reduce the one you're stealing from below what you would give to the other, if that makes sense. So like if the new one, let's say one quadrant has 0 and one quadrant has 20, you could make them both 10-10, that's fine, but you couldn't take 15 away from the 20 and make it 5-15.
Right.
We're going to have a bunch more questions as we go, I'm confident, but that's okay. Anything else right now?
One question. I was looking at the ship, like the rolls, where it says there are sometimes like actions that require you to spend a resolve point. Is that the person who is using the action? Okay.
Yep.
That's what I wanted to do.
Yep. You have to spend the resolve point, which is okay. It's good that they have that as an option.
Does anyone want to jump into like specific positions before we start? Like weapons or...
Well, Kevin had said that he's not going to be too pressured into like specific positions.
Okay.
Exactly.
Critic already took the Jeffrey tubes to the engineering bay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to... I think it's more relevant for you guys to think about what actions you want to take and note that there are certain actions that can only be done once. So, like, you know, you can't have multiple people pilot at the same time. You know, the ship only accelerates so much. So I don't mind if people jump from the guns to go to the nav computers to go to, you know, take a magic check. None of those bother me at all. It's just that you should be kind of more aware of what actions you want to take. Then we're going to go ahead and get started. So we're going to start off with the engineering phase of round one. So these are the sorts of actions that can shimmering checkered flag is shining. There are fans in ships nearby, all shouting at you guys. Your infosphere connections are going crazy until they get locked down, such that you think you're able to broadcast out, but you can't pick up what others are sending in, which makes sense because that could easily lead to a whole bunch of cheating. Quentin, you think that, like, through certain reaction, like, you're getting reactions across, so maybe you might be able to work something out. In the meantime, the holo lights are indicating that everything is about to get started. So this is time for the captain or chief mate or engineer or magic officer, any of those types of actions, now would be a good time for them. So does anyone want to act now?
Do we want to floor it?
Yeah, we probably want to bust out of here as quickly as possible.
Yep. All right. I like that.
So on that divert action, does it actually take from anything? Or if I just make the roll, then it boosts whatever I'm boosting.
You're taking all, you're giving her all she's got.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to try to divert to the engines to increase speed by 2.
All right. That sounds good. Go ahead and make your engineering check. And your starship tier is 7. So the DC is going to be 20.
All right. Did it? Okay, there it went.
Oh, making it look easy.
All right, 23.
Nice. Yeah, good work. You divert the engines. You guys also, did you guys get the, you did not get the thrusters primer. That's okay. I was just checking. Oh. So, Steven, as Bob, you're going to be in charge of keeping track of the ship's speed.
Okay. Currently is it 12.
Yep. Because its thrusters are 12. So now it's going to be 14 because of that plus 2 that Skritik just gave it.
Okay.
All right. Anything else, Skritik? You can move around the ship or something like that, but that's your main action.
I think I'll just wait here until things start exploding and then see where I need to run.
All right. Sounds good. Any sort of captain or magic officer actions?
I got a captain action.
Okay.
I will grab the comm and be like, take her out, Bob. And remember, we've got everything riding in this. And I'll make a demand of Bob to improve his performance and give him a plus 4 bonus to a specific check if I manage to scare him.
Intimidate the android.
Yep. If that's all right.
Yeah, go for it.
All right.
It's all right by me. I don't know if it's all right by Bob.
Sure, yeah.
Hey, you 25. Succeeded. That was exactly what you
said. Yes, sir. Right away, sir.
So you get a plus 4 to one specific check by succeeding. Yeah, so you get a plus 4 to your pilot, like, next pilot check.
Okay.
All right. Let's see here. And also, this would be a fine time. Technically, it happens during the helm phase. but there's no reason why science officers shouldn't just go in the engineering phase, in my opinion, because a science officer should pretty much always go before the pilot, I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. Anyway, if there's a science officer check that people want to take, that now is also a fine time, like to scan another ship or something like that.
Ooh. That's what I was wanting to do, was exactly what you said.
Okay. What ship do you want to scan, and what do you want to do?
Scan. Let's see, which one is right next to us?
The one closest to you. Yeah.
Okay.
The Umbra Wyvern of Team Rust Dragon.
My computers is that. Oh,
let's look up their defensive countermeasures.
That's a 19.
19. Okay, so let's see here. That's 10, 15. Oh, all right. Well, you succeed. Okay, so I will tell you that their armor class in the Umbra Wyvern is 21. Their target lock is 21. Their total and current hull points is 160. Their total and current shield points in each quadrant is 30 in each. And their PCU, how much of a power they have, is 250. Their complement is 5. They have 5 living creatures aboard the ship. Their size is large, so it's actually one size category larger than you guys. It's a large, heavy freighter. Its base speed is 10. Its maneuverability is average, which means it has to move 2 spaces for every facing turn it wants to make. The ship classification, I think I said, I said heavy freighter, yeah. And it's an A-Tech Resolute, a heavily modified one. But you guys already knew that.
That's a lot of good info.
That's it for that scan. Anybody else taking not piloting, not gunnery actions? Quentin, maybe?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm looking at the thing that says targeting. And I'm wondering, presumably, my thought process was that Vangi would be on the weapon systems. Is that something that can be done at this point, or is that further on down?
Yeah, so you could do... are you looking under science officer actions?
Yeah. Actually, I think it's chief mate act.
Or chief mate. Let's take a look.
Targeting aid, engineering phase.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would work. So you could definitely do that. So it does cost a resolve point, and the DC is a little higher. You can see that, right? Like, the DC is going to be, like, 30.
Right.
But if you do that, if Vangi does take the fire at will action, fire at will, you can kind of think as starship full attack. You know, it's the take 2 attacks, but each with a penalty.
Okay.
Then if you succeed at this, she won't take the penalty at all. If you fail by 10 or more, the gunner instead takes a penalty. Okay. So
that would be a target 30. What am I rolling?
You'd be rolling acrobatics or athletics.
Oh. Well, I'm good at one of those.
You're literally assisting with the targeting. Not via computer, but via yourself. Right.
Physical process.
Yeah, if you want to use computer, there's a lock-on action.
Yes, there is. There is a lock on
acrobatics than computers.
Oh, nice.
I'm sneaky. Yeah, let me try that. So I roll that, and then I would, if I make the roll, I spend
a point or I spend
well,
the
point.
Well,
you spend the point either way, and then you make the roll.
All right. Well, let's do this. Blah. I quit.
All right. And you fail by 10 or more. So, Quentin's help is not really help. It's, in fact, a minus 2 penalty to gunnery checks this round.
See, that's why I wasn't going for those kind of actions right now.
She'll say, maybe next time hype up the crowd. That seems to have misaligned things.
All right. So I think we're on to the next phase, which is the helm phase. So, Bob, it's time for a piloting check to determine initiative.
All right. Piloting check. 30.
Oh, dang.
30.
You mean 34.
Oh, 34. Oh, but also, do I also add an additional one because of under maneuverability, it says plus one piloting. Does that mean I add one to my piloting check?
Yes.
Oh, so 35. 35 then.
All right. 35. That is good enough for second.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys are up against some
speedy buggers.
Yep. All right. So as a refresher, this is a little weird, but the slowest person, you know, kind of declares their action first so that you can see where they're going. So that is the Umber Wyvern, the new team Rush Dragon. So they are going to 11-12 because they had also boosted their engines. So that is where the Umber Wyvern will wind up. Then let's take a look at the next fastest ship, which is the Mir Messia. We're actually going to go 11, 12, 13, 14, so as not to provoke an attack from the Umber Wyvern. You are allowed to move through enemy ships' hexes, but it basically provokes an AOO. So you don't want to do it if you can avoid it.
Just that you're not adjacent, right?
Would they provoke an attack? Don't they technically go before they go? Wouldn't they get there before the Umber Wyvern gets there?
That's an interesting point.
I hate time travel.
Yeah. I don't know, Rodrigo. Why don't you look that up while I don't worry about it right this second? Because in any case, they can get to where the hex they're at without passing through it. Okay. So, Bob, you have a sense of how things are playing out and the direction people are going. It is your turn to declare your where you're going.
Sure. I'm going to fly, and I can either land up to you guys. I can either land right here or I can end up right next to this other team. Depends on what gunnery wants to do.
Bangy?
Yeah, that's a good question. I definitely want to shoot something. I guess I would ideally prefer to shoot the bugs as opposed to Team Brass Dragon, since we have a somewhat tenuous truce with them.
And the bugs are these guys right here, the ones in front of us?
Yep.
Okay. And you can shoot to the side, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I can fire in all directions. We've got weapons everywhere.
And 14 spaces with the turns here and there would put us right there next to them.
Okay. Yep. That sounds about right. Because their speed is the same as yours. The Umber Wyvern's a little slower.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. That's my turn. That's my fly turn.
All right. And then the Celebrant of Darkness. 1, 2, 3. And 3, 4. So they wind up very near you guys as well. So, you know, as Jock Hammer would say, there's a tight pack approaching the first asteroid bend. And we get to gunnery. I think, Vanky, you're the only one who hasn't acted, yeah?
That is correct. So she's going to man the turret-mounted mazer and said, "Prepare to get zapped, bugs!" And fire on what is the name of their ship again?
The Myrmecia.
The Myrmecia. So I am going to use it's my base attack, and then is it my strength or my dex or any of those things?
So, if you take a look at the gunner actions thing.
Ah, yes. There we go. Gunner actions. So gunner actions, it's going to be just the shoot action. So I can fire one of my starship weapons. If I use a turret weapon, you can target a ship in any arc. So.
All right. 1d20 plus your base attack or your ranks in piloting, which for you are the same. Mm-hmm. Plus your dex mod, plus any bonuses from computer systems, which I totally didn't even mention.
Oh, yeah, we have a plus one.
Is it plus one or is it plus two?
I believe it is plus one. I'm looking at our Starship computer is a Tetranode.
Mark two.
Tetranode. Oh, Mark two Tetranode. You're right. It is a plus two. So, sweet. And since I'm the only one picking an attack this round, I can just take that for free, which will help offset the penalty that I'm getting from Bob.
Mm-hmm. No, from
Quentin. Or not from Quentin, from not Bob. Sorry,
from Quentin.
No, it was Bob.
So basically, you know, think of it as base attack plus dex, which is kind of like a ranged attack.
Yep.
And you get a plus two from the computer and a minus two from Quentin. So those cancel each other out. So 1d20 plus that.
All right. So,
and you're not at a range penalty because you're well within range. And you're shooting at the Myrmecia?
Yes.
Okay.
So I have a 25 to hit.
Okay. So that will hit once we resolve. So know that you have hit, but we also get to do a bunch of stuff. I'm going to... Oh, you know what? Speaking of which, I think maybe I was supposed to resolve people's actions in reverse initiative order again. Not 100% sure.
At least you're learning too with us.
Yeah. Weird. Weird.
Suddenly, across the view screen, a big rainbow star shoots across.
All right, so we're going to have the Umber Wyvern and the Celebrant of Darkness each shoot each other. The Umber Wyvern is actually going to, never mind, not shoot. It's going to ram the Celebrant of Darkness because it is in perfect ramming position of being adjacent with its aft towards the Celebrant of Darkness's four. So that's not good for Team Immense Tomorrow, but that's not your problem. And Team Immense Tomorrow is going to latch on a bunch of... They're going to fire chain cannons and try to... they'll use their heavy ship tether. No, they'll just fire chain cannons at the Umber Wyvern. So those guys start blasting each other, but you guys don't have to worry about that. You've picked your fight, and it's with the Formians, who will respond in kind. They will launch from one of those bulbous sacks. It almost seems to vomit forth a cloud of spores.
I would like to remove three words from that last sentence.
Cloud of spores.
Bulbous sack vomit.
I guess I'm more concerned with the effect rather than the description, but you do you.
What's your guy's armor class?
The AC currently is
53.
MK4 armor. Let's see, 80 shields, light shields, 80. Is that what you're looking for?
No. That's okay. So, we should probably make this a little easier for you guys. Sam, I'm nominating you.
Okay.
We're going to have a little thing called stats, and we're going to start filling it in. Now, all of these are calculatable from things that we have down below, but that doesn't make it easy. So I believe your armor class is 14. I don't think there's any reason why it would be higher, because you have Mark 4 armor, which adds 4 to it, and I don't think that you have anything else that adds to it. Is that fair? I think it's fair.
Yep, that's correct.
So you can do that for literally all of these things, like all of the properties. And then let's just see here. Explorer. I'm just double checking the. Yeah, it doesn't make any difference. Yeah. That way, you know what your target lock is or your hull points, things like that. You can just come up here and check.
Cool. Does target lock do a base at 10 and then plus 6?
Yep.
Okay.
Then you guys are hit by this heavy spore launcher, which is going to deal a hefty amount of damage. Now, let's see. You guys are... So we have to resolve our attacks at the same time. So you guys are hitting the Myrmecia. Would you like to hit it in the fore or the port? So you guys, I think, have an angle such that you could hit it either behind, basically in the back side of the shields, or its left side. It is going to hit you in the starboard side rather than your front.
Let's hit it on the left. We can kind of try to stay on that side of them and keep hammering there.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay. I'm ready for damage whenever you guys have it from your maser.
Oh, sure. Do I get to add my soldier damage to this? Again, I don't know.
Yes, sure. Oh, let's go sweet. For it.
Cool. All right, then. Is 45.
Holy nice. Cow. Well, damn. They do have awesome shields, but that wipes them out altogether on their port side. And you can tell because you're scarring the biomechanical vessel itself, and it starts spewing some sort of ichor into space, and it, you know, drops like little, you know, gravity makes it go into like a fine mist, or the lack of gravity that is, all around it. And it, you know, freezes in space. It hits you guys with a spore weapon.
Gross.
Yeah.
Don't like the sound of that.
Oh, no. No, you shouldn't. So, how much shields do you guys have on your starboard side?
20.
Okay, and is somebody keeping track of this like they're keeping track of their own hit points?
Yeah, I'll put that up here, too.
Okay. And you should also keep track of the hull. The whole, there's only one thing to keep track of, but you do need to track it.
Is that separate from hit points?
The hull points is hit points.
Oh, okay. Then yes, I've got that.
So shields, you're going to want to, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're going to want that in like four quadrants. Your starboard shields are hit for 27, meaning they are obliterated and a cloud of fast-growing spores starts causing tremendous damage to the ship's systems. And a ship that takes damage, like hull point damage, from a spore weapon immediately takes a critical effect.
Ah.
An engineer can repair spore damage. I would also let a science officer try to repair spore damage by succeeding at different checks. If the spore damage remains at the end of the engineering phase, the damage system will take a critical damage effect again. The damage will spread to other systems because that's what the spores do.
So, question. I understand all that, but you said we took 27 damage. We lost our starboard shield. Does that mean the extra 7 spills onto our hit points or no?
Yep, that's exactly what it means. Let's figure out what kind of critical damage effect you guys get. Get to roll percentile dice. I love it. Ooh, that's going to be life support. The life support starts glitching. That is going to impose a penalty to all captain actions going forward. So -2 penalty to captain actions as it's difficult to give an inspiring speech when you can't breathe. And it also makes perfect sense that the life support would be compromised by these spores. They're getting in and really messing with all of their ship systems. Okay, I think that is it for round one.
Wow.
That's not that bad.
No, it's not. There's just a lot of moving parts.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So Kevin, it really looks like ships just move in reverse initiative order. So, yeah, it's not like you declare where you move and then you move in regular order. They just move. So that would presumably provoke an attack if you move that way.
Okay, good to know. Cool. I guess that's most helpful to the people with the highest initiative. So that's kind of fine.
Yeah.
Now, the crazy thing about this that I'm going to definitely have to get used to, because I did this in a long-running game, but I haven't done it for many, many a moon, is initiatives are new every round. But we will get to that when we get to I know, right? We will get to that when we get to the the helm phase, the piloting phase. So we start back again at the engineering phase. So this would be an opportunity for engineers to fix shields, for science officers to deal with the spores, for magic officers to do something magical, or captains to inspire people, anything like that. Also, you can still try to like hype up your social media crowd. There doesn't seem to be any specific bonus that they're granting here, but you never know what that might do.
Well, I know what we need to do.
Hang on just 1 second. Never mind. Yep, go ahead. Go ahead, Rob.
We need to get rid of the spores.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Do we want to give you our computer bonus to that, just so that we're sure we got rid of the spores?
So now, is it going to be like separate to get to fix the damage that the spores cause, or does getting rid of the spores take care of that?
It's a special action dictated by the spores system themselves. So basically, you can stop the spread. Think of it as the spores have inflicted you with a condition, and you can stop the spread of that. It doesn't repair the damage they've done. That would be a separate action.
Thinking restoring shields might still be a better call right now. So
I think if that's you succeed at all, you get 12 points of shields back, which is awesome. And you could even divert some more, like you could divert, say, 4 more points from one quadrant to that one to put them both at like 16, for instance.
I could help you out ahead of this by taking the chief mate action, which is I could try to make an engineering check myself and let you take the divert action to 2 systems.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that could also continue to boost speed.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Unless you want the... Well, I guess you're doing this. You probably ain't shooting.
Yeah, I mean, I could shoot again, but like, I think keeping our own ship running is usually going to be the best call.
Fair. So yeah, I'm going to be diverting. I think Ami's going to try to science at the spores.
That is the plan.
Okay, whoever wants to go first, go.
Well, I think I have to make the check first.
So you're doing what now as chief mate?
I'm taking the maintenance panel action, so I'll pull open a maintenance panel and like try to like give him some extra power for the diverting action.
Ah, nice. So that they can choose two systems?
Exactly.
Okay. Reverses a power coupling temporarily before it burns out.
Yep, pretty
much. There you go.
So 1.5 times the starship's tier, so that...
Whenever it says that, you can replace that whole little block with just the number 10.
Okay, so it's going to be a DC 20 action?
Tier 7, so yeah.
So it's DC 20. Yep. And so do I get... Oh, it's only attack rolls that Grace helps with?
No. Grace can help with 4 checks per round.
All right. Yeah. Then I would love to take 2 points on this because I don't make this roll on average.
As an athletics check?
It's an athletics check, not an engineering check. Never mind. That's much better. Okay. I kept, then I don't need to do that. I can save the roll unless...
You can still do it. I mean, there's 6 of you and she can help 4 of you. So only 2 of you don't get the help.
All right, I'll take it.
It's up to you guys. Cool. You take it. Go for it.
All right, then I've got a super succeed. So you get to keep us running and divert the shields.
Okay.
Okay. Right. But that seems like a nice... Your pollen fuses are burning your vesk hands as you start, you know, manually redirect the power at the maintenance panel. Skritik, what do you do?
Okay. Yep. I basically start... routing power through alternate pathways to run them to the shields and then further ancillary power back to the thrusters to continue to try to get us additional shields and speed.
All right, go ahead and make an engineering check. You only have to make one check, but if it works, it applies to 2 systems, which is kind of nice.
There it goes. Okay. 31.
Nailed it. Okay, so you get the +2 bonus to speed, so that's still going. And then, what are you doing with the other one?
I say let's go ahead and get the shield. So let's put 12 back on starboard. Do we want to move like 4 from port over?
Probably.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's move.
One's to your port at all right now.
Yeah, put them both at 16.
And then Amu, you are going to divert the spores?
Spore cleaning duty.
I would allow a life science check for that.
I was hoping for that.
You're like, spore cleanup duty? I was born ready for this.
I'm still going to have Amu use the +2.
Okay.
From Grace.
So that's the second use. Yep.
Yeah. I feel like this is a kind of important role and I don't want to screw it up.
Yeah, because it's going to otherwise just start spreading through the ship and start dealing more critical damage effects. I quite like spore weapons, by the way. It was very happy. Too. Is that good enough?
Yes.
Yes, it is. It is exactly good enough.
Thank Grace.
The DC is 15 plus your ship's tier. Whew. Wow.
Oh, it's not a tier and a half?
Nope. It's weirdly enough. So, I mean, I can even just link it so you know I'm telling the truth. but it specifies the DC is 15 plus the ship's tier. Okay.
Oh, close.
Cool. You stop. You can, replace the filters and the life support. Maybe you can recruit.
The plan was grab some samples, analyze them real quick, and then send Squeebo in there.
Ah, nice. To clean. Yes, exactly. That makes perfect sense. Cool. So that's 3 of you.
Does that Do we still have the captain action penalty?
You do. It does not fix the critical damage effect. That can be done for what it's worth. That is another action that can it's called, although it's really tough.
Assume it's also an engineering.
It is an engineering action, and I don't think you guys can actually do it. It requires 12 ranks in engineering to do.
Oh. Okay.
Oh.
There's a thing called, here's how it goes. There's a thing called hold it together. But that only lasts a very short period of time, so you probably don't want to do that. And nobody did this round.
Yep.
So yeah, you would take a minus two penalty.
Okay. In that case, Hecubino will hit a little button and put on his helmet. So he can breathe a little better. And then he, instead of socially trying to get Bob to do better, he's just going to lend him some processing power and just runs over and just puts his hand, palm out, right on top of Bob's head. And will attempt a magic officer action of precognition.
Nice.
So I'm going to try and give him a bonus to his pilot check again.
Okay.
And I'm not going to take the grace bonus because he can have that.
Reasonable.
So this is a mysticism check, I think.
Yep.
24.
That succeeds.
All right. So I'll connect my brain to Bob's, but definitely not to the, the hypercortex. So definitely, I'll connect it to Bob's forebrain.
Go with the five brain. The four is probably busy piloting.
Yeah. And I think that's it for me.
Quentin, are you holding back for gunnery? You could.
Maybe. Can I diplomatize the guns?
No.
How's your piloting?
It doesn't suck, but it also sucks. So, I mean...
How many ranks in piloting do you have?
Four.
Okay.
That's not a lot of rank.
Well, the max you could have at this point is six, right? So
it's not that bad.
No, wait. Ranks is the blue one. I have zero ranks.
All right. Then, yeah, you would be using your base attack bonus. What is that? Probably, three or four?
Eight?
No. Let's take a look at...
Base attack bonus is four, yeah. Sorry, four. I was looking at my ranged attack bonus.
That's okay. So
I was thinking, hey, it's a gun.
So you'd be a couple points worse than Vangie normally, but then again... You don't have you interfering with you. So it'd actually be... I'm just saying, it works out number-wise.
Also, how many bonuses do we have left? Two?
We still have two. Two races left.
Yeah. We could do one for Bob's pilot check and one for Bob's gunnery check. Gunnery check.
We don't all look alike just because we're artificial creatures. I mean...
You're lucky that I'm actually calling him Quentin, because I've had it stuck in my head forever that his name is Gavin. So if we ever meet another sphere, I really want him to be part of a batch assembly and for there to be an evil version of him named Gavin.
Noted.
A sphere with a mustache.
Yeah.
Right. That's how you just have a little beard. Sure. I'm going to diplomatize the guns.
All right. Well, then we go to the helm phase where, let's see here.
Time for a piloting check.
Yes, we need another pilot check from the pilot.
So I'm going to take one.
Oh, by the way, I forgot. You took the fly action last round, Bob, but I do want to note that there are many other actions you could take.
Correct.
The fly was a wonderful first round, we didn't have to think about it type action. But there are other crazy things you can do.
Do a barrel.
You could do a barrel roll.
A barrel. Can do a barrel roll.
I don't know that that helps you.
I'm not going to do a barrel roll, so yep. Don't worry about that.
Do an Immelman.
So I think you get a net of basically plus four here, two from...
If I use the grace, yeah.
Which, I mean, there's two checks left, and...
Yeah, I might as
two
well.
Two used as... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so. And then I also get the plus one from our maneuverability.
Yep. You can just factor that in. So I get five, in general. Yeah. Yep.
All right, so piloting here is 29 this time.
29. That is, again, going to make you... Is it the same initiatives? It's the same initiatives as last round. So it's exactly the same. Well, I guess, you know, slow people are going the slowest, so that is fair enough. Oh, crap. Well, the Umber Wyvern is going to provoke. There's just no way around it from where it's located. It's going to provoke from the Celebrant of Darkness, which is not great because the Celebrant of Darkness has a bunch of like chains hanging from it.
Yeah, yes, that doesn't seem like the thing you want to provoke from.
Yeah, right? It's like a bunch of spikes.
It's like might grab you.
Yep. Let's see what happens, actually, if I can hit it with a tether. No, we don't want to do that. We will instead just hit it with our guns. Yeah, they will unleash a particle beam at it, just ripping through some of the orange and brown plates on the Umber Wyvern. It does look like they're able to target any quadrant of the ship when it's passing through, which is really annoying for the Umber Wyvern because it's got decent shields, except at the front, at its aft, it rammed the Celebrant of Darkness last time, so it's being targeted there, which means critical. The particle beam is just ripping into its hull. Anyway, I'm sure you guys care deeply about Red Iron and his crew and all.
I mean,
of that.
We don't not care.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like the people who are closest to you.
Yeah, we know their names as opposed to, you know, anyone else in this race.
Yep, there's
not even sure that the Formians have names.
Right? They do also take some damage from flying through the asteroid belt, as it's really difficult to make these turns with their maneuverability. That is where they wind up. Then the Myrmecia. Oh, geez. This gets ugly. By the way, you cannot go closer. You cannot, for instance, hit the orange ring if you're not on the orange ring, just so you know.
Okay.
Right.
It's a rule of how we move our ships around this thing. You guys are up.
Careful.
That is where they're moving.
Wow, their speed must have really increased.
How are the Myrmecia's shields doing? Did they recover any?
So you saw that you did hull damage to them with your maser shot. But yeah, you'd need to scan them again to see if they've rebalanced their shields.
Okay.
You guys get to declare your move. Or actually just move.
Or
take your pilot special actions.
I think I'm going to try a full power. I do have the ranks in piloting for that.
You have to spend a resolve.
And I have to spend a resolve, and I have that, which would give us up to 16 on our move.
Whew.
Oh, but adding 2 to distance between turns.
Well, it just means, you
tricky.
Know, the good news is you have a lot of straightaway distance here that you can do before you need to take a turn.
Yeah, that's true.
because of like where you're doing it.
Yeah. I think I can do that. Let's see here. Let's draw a line.
Steven, I know you're in the middle of acting, but will you like take screenshots of this?
Yes, I am.
Okay, cool. Because I don't know, I think it looks pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's pretty neat. It's
very pretty.
Like
just talking today to another game master about the amount of effort that ends up going into games. And I was like, yeah, this is like a huge amount of effort. It's like, this is on a podcast and we have pictures so people can see it. There's like tons of games, stuff like this, you know, even wackier stuff than this. And, you know, only 4 people ever get to see it.
Yep. It is advantageous to move to the inner track whenever possible.
That's what I'm trying, but I was trying to avoid all those asteroids. If only we had a ghost drive of some sort that would let us pass through this material.
So, believe it or not, both those ships took damage during their movement for passing through those asteroid fields.
Speaking of those asteroid fields, would I be able to take like maybe a gunnery action to like shoot at them to like get us a clear path?
Well, you guys already have a clear path. Yeah, oh, but you mean
we're going to run into them again? Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
Sweet.
The huge asteroids, less so.
Sure.
The smaller asteroids, definitely. Yeah.
Nice.
So, yes, there's my action. It cost me a resolve point, but we were able to get a little bit more power to move into first place.
All right. And then the Celebrant of Darkness does its thing. Man, these asteroids.
Do we not get an extra 6 movement?
Oh, yeah. I only gave you 2 squares of extra movement.
Oh,
you
should
get way more than that, right?
Like 4 more. I'm assuming the 2 boosts that I give it doesn't count, right?
Right. So you should move
4 more.
4 more squares. 4 more hexes.
Can I move right here?
Yes, you have moved enough in this direction such that you could change your facing. So let's do that and go 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
Like there?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
But you do have to run through some asteroids to get there. See those little asteroids?
Oh, yeah, there's a little tiny one. That's okay.
I think it's worth it.
That hit our forward shield, so.
Yep. So your forward shields take 9 points of damage. All right. The Celebrant of Darkness. I guess we'll move to here. Does not like being behind. So we're definitely going to have to fix that. But you guys, we're pretty fast. Okay. I think we're on to gunnery.
All right, sweet. So I think I'm going to, I guess we'll be firing behind us.
I think you already went, Sam.
Yeah.
We're still on that.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot. Still on that raft. Yes. So yeah, I don't know if anyone else wants to shoot, but.
Hello, I am here to shoot. What can we shoot at?
Well,
someone behind us.
You can take over the Mazer, which is turret mounted and probably your best weapon, to shoot at one of the ones behind you.
Are the ants behind us?
Yes, they are.
I think we should shoot at the ants because they, you know, we shot them before and they
made. Yeah, we've already shot at the ants.
Yeah.
Yep. Focus fire.
Indeed. Exactly.
Yeah, and we can even, I think, still get the place we shot them before where we messed up their shields.
Yeah, nope. Let's go. Let's get militant.
Shot them in the fort, didn't we?
No.
We are shot past them.
Yep.
We'll shoot
them. Mixed up my ship locations.
Left, right, center. I'm going to shoot them.
It'll at least make it harder for them to redirect shielding.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as you can tell, like, whenever this happens, like, things. You know, like they only have so much shields to go around. So,
well, that's all right. They never change a thing. I'm going to shoot the ants marching. So this is just 20 plus my base attack bonus.
Plus your dex mod, so it's like a ranged attack.
Okay, so let me check my dex mod. Doodly doo. I should have a pretty good one. My dex is like 150. Or 4. That'll work too.
Plus 70 dex mod?
Yeah, 70. Yep. How do you feel about a 24?
And this is going at the Myrmecia. That is going to hit. So, not bad.
We're going to turn them into an antique. Yeah.
Stop it.
Stop what? I don't understand what you're talking about.
Your references are giving me hives.
Well, it's important that we think about these things.
They're bugging me, I'll tell you that.
Oh.
You know, if you keep track of all my references, you might as well be an account ant.
Oh, are we just going to keep droning on like this?
Yes, queen. I should probably roll damage, huh?
No, you should wait because we resolve all the damage at once. But you are being fired upon by the Celebrant of Darkness with their heavy torpedo launcher against your target lock. So what is your target lock?
16.
Okay, well, got good news. Actually, no, I don't have any good news. That's just a lie. I was trying to think of how I was gonna spin that, but it's just bad news. You guys are hit by a torpedo.
Oh no.
Do we get cover from the fact that the torpedo has to go through asteroids?
Oh yeah, I like that. It does. So we will say that ups your target lock by 2. Which means it blows apart behind you on an asteroid.
Ah.
Well done.
Do we still take any damage from it?
No, you don't.
Okay.
But the Myrmecia is going to fire upon you again with an EMP cannon.
Oh, no.
That sounds bad.
Yep.
Stupid status effect bugs.
Yeah, right?
How dare they?
Status effect bad guys are great because they just make you worse but don't actually kill you.
Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. All right. So the bugs are they're pretty good at this stuff. Yeah, you guys are in range. Let's make my gunnery check. Yeah, this
the
time I get to.
Anticipation is killing me. What?
They're going to get you. So, you guys, and the Umber Wyvern is going to shoot the Celebrant of Darkness with their heavy laser cannon because those two are in a little fight. It looks like you guys are hitting the Myrmecia, and the Myrmecia is hitting you again. So, go ahead and roll damage, Quentin.
Okay. Give me a hint as to how many damages I'm rolling.
You are rolling. What did you use? What did you
shoot? 60-10. The Mazer.
The Mazer. Yeah, 60-10. The Mazer.
60-10. I don't have any bonus.
Correct.
Swing. 31.
Oof. That's pretty good. Yeah, that's going to blow apart all of their 4 shields. And deal them some more damage. Let's take a look and see. I knew when they took a small amount of damage that they had not suffered a critical hit effect, but now they have. Yeah. So, Quentin, why don't you roll percentile dice for me?
Percentile?
Anyone who does the damage gets to roll the percentile, I think.
2d10 or 1d100?
1d100. Which is okay. The same as 2d10 if you want to.
But is it?
Yeah, but it just tells you the number as opposed to you having to.
17.
17?
Yes.
Okay, so you have damaged their sensors, which applies to science officer actions and like their ability to scan, maybe navigate, things like that.
Oh, darn, I was aiming for the engines. I was hoping they'd be venting antimatter.
Okay, And they hit you with the EMP cannon, which means we will randomly determine a ship system, and it's going to
wreck it.
Wreck it, yes. 64 is the engines. So that's going to apply to pilot. So now the engines are glitching as well. And that's a minus two penalty on piloting checks. You think that could be repaired for what it's worth, because it was inflicted by this status condition. I think that's the end of the round. Yeah.
Everybody's gone.
Well, we have some bonus surprises, as previously mentioned by
Chuck
our
Rochester.
Hosts. There are mines that are hidden in the asteroid field that start to follow you.
Oh no.
They look like being magnetically pulled by your bumpers.
Oh, nice.
So they will go to the nearest one, 2, 3, 4, 5, and blow themselves up.
Sweet. We seem to be clear right now.
So
at the moment.
So that is going to hit the Myrmecia, and it always goes towards the aft shields. The aft is the behind, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yes. The back shields. And they deal a pretty substantial amount of damage. So 10, 19, 24, 27 damage to the aft shields for the Myrmecia, which doesn't quite reduce those to zero, but is a hefty blow to them nonetheless. And there's another one that is following the Umber Wyvern, is right behind it. We're ready for the next round, but I think that might be destined for a future episode. What do you think, Steven?
Oh, cliffhanger!
Hanging from a cliff.
Yeah. Hey, listen, everybody, you can head over to our Discord server for free. There's a link in the show notes. Come and hang out in our Critical Hit chat and talk about all these fun actions that you've been listening to today. Talk about all your love of Drifters. I hear Kevin sometimes shows up in the Discord, so you might be able to harangue him about this game. Or you might run into any one of us over on our Major Spoilers Discord. So go do that. Right now, we want to see as many of you joining that Discord server in the next couple of days. But until the next time that we meet, here's hoping all of your dice rolls are critical hits.
This podcast is copyright 2021 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.